Hello there, and welcome to the How to Market Your Horse Business podcast. I'm so glad you're joining me here today. Now, as you've likely guessed by now, my name is Denise Alvarez. I get the honor of hosting you here on this podcast. And in case we are new friends, I will do a very brief introduction, and then we will jump in to a really fun episode all about some marketing lessons from Equine Affair. All right, so first, that quick intro I promised you. Now, as I said, my name is Denise Alvarez, and through my business, Storm Lily Marketing, I get to help dream-chasing horse business owners like yourself to see clearly through the marketing overwhelm so that you can create a cohesive plan for your social media, your website, and your email marketing that will help you to turn your online audience into your customers. I do that primarily through Take the Reins, my one-on-one coaching program, as well as through website design and website copywriting. And then, of course, here on the podcast. And my heart truly is to help you be out in the barn or the arena or behind the camera lens for my equine photographer friends, doing what it is that you love to do. And so that's also why here on the podcast, you will get a mix of step-by-step strategies and essential how-tos and entrepreneurial mindset shifts that will help you not only see what's possible for your business, but I'm also here to guide you through that process so you can make it happen. And now, if we've been friends for a while and we are not new friends, you know that I've got my marketing hat on, my content hat on pretty much all the time. Even when I go to an event that's not horse related, such as a concert, I'm thinking about how I can turn these ideas and concepts into something that applies to my podcast audience. I've always got you on my mind. And so you've seen that in previous episodes. For example, earlier this year, I did an episode all about 5 marketing takeaways from my first jumping clinic. I've done an episode on takeaways from a Kenny Chesney concert, from a Garth Brooks concert, from Road to the Horse. I love learning, and I love seeing how we can take the things we're learning and apply it in our businesses, no matter where we're at. And so when I went to Equine Affair a few weeks ago up in Columbus, Ohio, of course, I had a note open on my phone just for writing down ideas and takeaways that would apply to equestrian entrepreneurs like yourself. Now, just in case you are not familiar yet with Equine Affair, I'll quickly tell you about that and then we'll dive in, okay? Now, Equine Affair is a 4-day equestrian expo. They have a spring event in Columbus, Ohio. It's actually hailed as the largest horse-related trade show in North America. So you know there's some shopping happening there. And then they have a fall event in West Springfield, Massachusetts. Now, I'm telling you this not because this podcast is sponsored by Equine Affair. This is no kind of ad. I just wanted you to know what I'm talking about before I dive in. And I also think it's important for you to know, because if you have a horse business where you are selling products, I would recommend that you check it out if it's in your neck of the woods, or maybe even if it's not. There are definitely people that travel up because it's got a lot of foot traffic. So that also being said, if you are looking to build the education arm of your business, they have presenter applications on their website, and I think you should look into that. Again, I'm not telling you this because I work for them. I just want to help you see opportunities. And when I see an opportunity and think of you, I want to let you know. Now, I will say this. While I'm a fan of niching down, and I would say Equine Affair doesn't necessarily do that. Like, they're not discipline specific or breed specific. It is very much just equestrian or horse world, depending on which side of the road you're on, which side of the track you're on. One of the things that I loved is the opportunity to get exposure to a variety of breeds and disciplines and ideas. I mean, where else can you walk out of a jumping clinic with Philip Dutton and then just walk a few hundred feet and go next door to a cow working clinic with Ken McNabb? Like, there's something cool about that too. Okay, so anyway, that's Equine Affair. If you've not been, you can look it up. I would recommend it for many of you. Back to the takeaways, okay? I wanted you to understand that before I give you the takeaways so you know where these lessons are coming from. So I did walk the trade show floor multiple times, actually. It's quite huge. I talked with exhibitors. I attended clinics and presentations of various breeds and disciplines. I met new friends, old friends, existing clients. And so I covered a lot of ground in our time there. And all the while I was there, I certainly was thinking about how I can use what I'm seeing and learning to take back and serve you guys here on the podcast. That being said, grab your notebooks. We're going to dive in. Here are 6 marketing lessons from my first equine affair. Lesson number 1, put down your phone and engage in face-to-face conversations. Let's start with the trade show. Now, it's definitely possible that I'm a little sensitive to this one because I used to manage a trade show and I also have worked a booth at an expo back in my previous life for the Chocolate and Candy Association. You may have heard me talk about it. It was a wonderful place to work if you are wondering, but I did a lot of trade show and expo work there, and I can tell you that being on your phone is taking you away from opportunity. I cannot tell you how many people at Equine Affair were on their phones when I walked up to their booth. Now, some of them would look up and say, oh, hi, if you need anything, just let me know, and then go back to their phones. Some of them literally didn't acknowledge that I was there. And some of them did put their phone down and wait to see if I had any questions and didn't pick it up again until I left the booth. But my question to you is, why would you invest in renting a booth space and spending the time and money to travel and spend time at your booth and then not make the most of having people actually standing there? Your potential clients and customers are standing right there and you're buried in your phone. Now, yes, of course, I know there's a balance between pressuring people as soon as they walk into your booth and being present and available. But I also think we could all agree that if you are on your phone, you're not exactly present or available to your potential customers that are walking the trade show floor. So here's your takeaway, all right, from this lesson. 1, if you have a booth at horse shows and expos, can I just remind you today, do not bury yourself in your phone. Now, I get the temptation, and I know you're running a business and you've got notifications coming up and there are things you need to do. But also be aware that you are going to be missing opportunities to make sales and valuable connections if you are buried into your phone. 2, even if you do not have a booth, and so you're saying, Denise, how does this apply to me? Let this serve as a reminder to you. When you're at an event, when you're at a horse show, when you're out and about as a part of what you do in the horse world, be aware of how much you're on your phone and how much you're spending time looking down versus looking up and making face-to-face connections with people. I get it. We all get pulled into our phones at one time or another, especially when we are running our businesses off of them so often. But I also want this to serve as a reminder to you that there are people face-to-face that are wanting to connect with you, ask you questions about your business, learn what you're doing. But if you are not making yourself available, you're going to miss it. All right, that was lesson 1. Lesson 2, it's not who you know, it's who knows you. Now, I'm not going to take the credit for this one. Glenn the Geek Hebert from Horse Radio Network and co-host of the Horses in the Morning Daily Podcast gets full credit here. I was talking with him at the show. He had a booth there and he helps with the Equine Affair podcast. More than helps, I shouldn't say that. He's very involved, okay? So we were talking about podcasting, of course, right? And he was sharing some of the connections that he had made through the years as a podcaster, both in and outside of the horse world, and how that's helped him and what he does. And then he said something that I thought was key. And he said, it's not who you know, it's who knows you. And I said, wow, actually, let's pause and celebrate that. That's actually a very insightful statement. And so here's why I want you as an equestrian entrepreneur to hear this. Because one of the jobs of your marketing is brand awareness. To get more of the right people to know you, who you're for, what you do, what you sell, and who you help. And true, sometimes who you know matters. Absolutely. But I would also say that who knows you and your horse business, whether you know them or not, is related to how you have built your brand. And that matters greatly as well. And that's also why it is so important for you to do the work to narrow down your best fit audience and the promise you're making as it relates to your products and your services. Because when you build your brand with clarity, you are essentially teaching people what they need to know about you. And when the right people know about you, they're going to send your ideal people your way. Now, I'm going to give you a story, a very honest story, to help you see how this plays out in real life, okay? So I remember a time, like I can see it in my mind's eye. Back in 2021, I was at an event and someone asked me, Denise, tell me, who do you really love to work with? Like, who's your ideal person? I want to know because I meet a lot of people. And if I meet that person, I want to send them your way. So kind, right? Well, here's the unfortunate part. My answer was less than clear. Like, I remember saying a few different things and kind of honestly saying, like, I'm honestly still trying to figure that out, but here's where I'm at. I was very honest with her, but I didn't have a clear answer. And she probably walked away thinking there was no way she would even know if she had met my ideal person because I didn't know yet who it was. Now, like I said, that was 3 years ago. I've done a lot of work in that time to really hone in on who I am best fit to help and how I can do that well. And so now if that same person came up to me, I can confidently tell you I know what I would say. I love to help equestrian entrepreneurs who are about 3 to 5 years into their business. They know their marketing is more hodgepodge and haphazard than strategic, yet they see the opportunity for email marketing in their horse business. They just aren't sure how to do it with the website and social media and all the marketing things and how to make it play well together. They have a big dream for their business and they want to get that piece, that marketing piece in order for long-term success so they aren't bogged down by a lack of strategy and they can keep chasing that dream. Now, I know that was a lot, and I would say that in a conversation, of course, but it's much more specific, isn't it? Now, I may not always know the people I just described to you firsthand, but I bet you the more that I can articulate that to the right people, and the more people who know me and know what I'm about are going to be happy to connect me to that right person. Does that make sense? I hope so. All right, that leads me into my next lesson from Equine Affair, which is collaboration over competition. Now, the reason it was a lead-in is because those referrals, right? When I meet the right people and I'm not the right person, but I know someone who is, I am happy to refer them to someone, even though you might say, well, Denise, that's your competitor. And this is a lesson that I've learned really well, actually, from somebody else who, again, you would say is a competitor in the industry. Her name is Jamie Samples of Yellow Barn Media. Many of you may know her. She's been in marketing in the horse world for more than 15 years, I believe. And when I entered this market, specifically the equestrian industry, she welcomed me with open arms. Now, rather than seeing, oh, that Denise Alvarez, she says she's marketing for equestrians. Yikes, competition. I better put my guard up, right? I better hold on to everything as tightly as possible. Jamie did not have that mindset. She very much has a collaboration over competition mindset. She welcomed me in. She asked how she can answer any questions I might have. She asked what I love to do. Who do I love to work with? And by the way, she was not that person I'm telling you in 2021. That was a different conversation. So she's asked those questions. And because of that open-handed approach, she and I have built a friendship and she's done what she said she would do and has sent some wonderful website copywriting and design clients my way that I've had the pleasure of helping. And of course, in the process, I have learned more about what she loves to do, where she shines, who she's best suited to serve. And so I've been able to send people her way as well. Now, I'm hopeful you will get to meet Jamie on the podcast. I've extended the invitation. We're working on calendars, so stay tuned for that. And we're going to talk more about this idea of collaboration over competition. But for now, the takeaway that I want you to have is to be looking for ways you can collaborate with the people and the businesses in your space. Now, it may be similar to me and Jamie, where we're doing similar things, but not exactly the same thing always. Or it might mean that you're working with businesses that are adjacent to yours, right? But the point is, I want you to be open to collaboration and to embrace a mindset of abundance that says there's more than enough. And so let's welcome that competition. All right, lesson number 4 from Equine Affair. Networking does not always mean selling. And actually, it doesn't mean selling. It's not even what it means. So let's talk about this. Well, I was at Equine Affair. Whoop, let's back up. Well, I was not at Equine Affair to present or to host a booth. Like, I truly was just an attendee. I had an advertisement in the magazine, but otherwise I was just there to attend. I wasn't really just there to attend, was I? It was an opportunity for me to do some networking, to meet some new people. As I said, meet up with clients. All of these things matter. And it's all networking. And I realized that for some horse business owners, that's the last thing you want to do, right? When you get to a horse show or an expo, you're thinking, I just don't want to go out. I'm not extroverted, or it's intimidating because it's not natural. I'm good with horses, but I'm kind of scared of people, or just selling my business is scary. I get it. And so I have some good news for you around networking, because it's not selling. It is building relationships. Because done well, people don't walk away from meeting you for the first time at an event or in a show and they think, oh my gosh, that person is only here to hand out business cards. They're just trying to hit a quota. That was not a fruitful conversation. Instead, when you're networking at an equine event, I want people to leave that conversation from you thinking, I know exactly what that person does, yes, but I also feel cared about. I feel like that person knows what I do and what I bring to the table. Do you understand that? Like, networking is not just about saying, I'm here, this is what I do, everybody needs to know. No, it's about also listening and building those connections. And we've talked about that before, marketing being all about relationships. So your takeaway from this lesson is the next time you are at an equine event or a show, I want you to make it a point to get out and meet new people. Ask them questions about their business and what it is that they do. And naturally, they're going to want to know more about why you are there and what you do as well. Okay, friends, we are four lessons in. We have two to go. Lesson number five from Equine Affair. As a business owner, you are what makes your brand unique. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that I'm not the only person here who deals with imposter syndrome. You know, those thoughts and those feelings that say, if I were just more blank, then I would blank. We do it to ourselves all the time. If I was just more outgoing, I would walk away with more leads for my business. If I was funnier when I present or teach, then more people would be engaged. If I just had well-bred horses like so-and-so, then I would feel more confident showing. Now, how did I learn this lesson about embracing what makes you unique versus comparing and having those imposter syndromes? Well, frankly, while at Equine Affair, I had to be doing my own personal work to keep this at bay and to lean into who I know God made me to be as a business owner, who He has called me to serve right now at this time in my business. So number one, I learned it personally. Number two, I also met a lot of different people, and I watched a fair amount of clinics and presentations and just studied, right? I'm just studying. I want to learn horse things, but I also want to learn business things, and I want to watch people and learn from that as well. And I will tell you that no two business owners, no two clinicians are alike. Now, even more so, I'll tell you this, you can have two businesses that have similar products or services, and you can still be as different as night and day, because as a business owner, you are what makes your brand unique, and you are different than the one around the corner, if you will embrace that and not try to be like everybody else, okay? As a horse business owner, you are your brand, and I want you to embrace that. And so that is your takeaway from this lesson. Lean into what makes you unique and leave imposter syndrome at the door. Now, it might keep knocking, so can I just encourage you that you're going to have to do this more than one time? But you can embrace how your personality, your communication style, your vision are deeply intertwined with your horse business to make your brand stand out from the rest. All right, friends, we have made it to your final marketing lesson from Equine Affair, and that is to take advantage of every opportunity. Now, this one is huge, okay? There are lots of education sessions at Equine Affair, and while I'm sure the presenters there are under strict rules to not turn it into a pitch so that it truly is educational, I only sat in on two sessions where they invited the attendees to come back and visit them in their booth if they wanted to learn more. Now, yes, there were a few that were on the flip side. My parents were in a session where he actually had his book available in the back, and he said, I'll be hanging around in the back. I have a book there, and if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. It was a very soft pitch, and he had already delivered a lot of value, so that was welcome. But the majority of presenters and clinicians didn't say anything. The ones I was in, okay, there are a lot there, but the ones that I was in, and I talked to somebody else about their experience, and it was the same. They didn't mention that they have a booth. They didn't mention that they have a website or that they're even available in the back as a resource afterwards. Now, for those of you who are saying, well, Denise, some of those people, they're just there to host a clinic. Like, that's it. But I want to remind you that as a business owner, there are going to be people in the audience who are genuinely interested in what you're sharing and your topic. So why wouldn't you let them know how they can learn more from you if they want as a service? You know, something as simple as, thanks so much for being here. If you enjoyed this, if you learned something, you're welcome to meet me at booth number 123 or find me online and give the website. And that's it. Two simple lines is all it takes to just invite people to continue on that journey to becoming your customer. Because if you market yourself well and from a place of service rather than a look at me, look at me, look at me, which I'll be honest with you, I did sit in on one of those sessions and I wanted to walk out, then there's nothing wrong with promoting yourself in that way. I promise. Now, this is also why it's so important for you to have multiple ways for people to connect with you online. Because some people are going to be sitting in your clinic or your presentation and they will type your website into their phone as they sit there, or at least Google you, right? And some of them are opening up Facebook or Instagram to go ahead and find you right there. But either way, if you don't have a cohesive strategy for your social media, your website, and your email marketing, then I can tell you, you're missing an opportunity to guide those right people on their journey to becoming your customers. And as horse business owners, that's why marketing is key. And that's why I wanted to share these marketing lessons with you. So there you have it, 6 marketing lessons from my first equine affair. I hope, my friend, that you have not just enjoyed hearing these things, but that you will actually take some of these lessons and begin to apply them in your horse business. As you know, you can listen to a good podcast episode and walk away and say, oh, that was really good. Those were helpful things. And then go back to doing business as normal. But if you really want to grow your equestrian business, then I challenge you to pick one thing from this episode that you're going to start doing today as a result of what you've learned. Because that is where the real magic happens. And of course, I would love to hear your one thing. So take a screenshot, tag me on Instagram or Facebook, or send me a message and let me know what action you are going to take as a result of today's episode. And I have one more thing for you. If you're thinking email marketing is your starting point, or maybe you're saying, I need to build a lead magnet to just get some right people in the door, or you're thinking, oh, my website, I needed to upgrade that, then I've got an online shop where I have free resources available for you. And I want to make sure that you know that. You can head to stormlily.com/shop and you will see it there. I'll also have it linked to today's episode show notes, which is stormlily.com/133 for episode 133. But if you're ready and you're like, I just need the free resources to get my foot, you know, going to take that first step, then head to stormlily.com/shop. Now, on the other hand, if you're saying, Denise, I actually think I'm ready to work with you, I've listened to you and I want to talk about one-on-one coaching, or I want you to look at my website and see if we can do a copywriting and design package, then I would love to visit with you as well. So head over to stormlilymarketing.com or shoot me an email, denise@stormlily.com, and we will get that conversation started also. Okay? But either way, know that if you take action, then you are winning, you are making progress, and you are growing. And that is where it all begins, with that action taking. Okay? Thanks so much for joining me here. If this was helpful to you, I'd be so grateful. Send it to a friend, share on social, let other people know that this podcast is available here as a resource for horse business owners. It is all completely free. So there is nothing else that you need to do besides share it and say, hey, you should check this out. And then they can go in and check it out. All right. Thanks so much for joining me here. And I'll see you again soon with another episode. Have an awesome day.